And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? For me, he left his father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled all immense and free. For, oh my God, if thou doubt me, amazing,
amazing love,
how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray.
I woke the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee.
Amazing,
amazing love,
how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Wonderful. They may be the new man quartet, but they're certainly not novices. That's easy to tell. That was great, guys, and we appreciate it. Well, I can't thank you enough for the opportunity, my wife and I being here, and we're grateful for that, and we're honored and humbled by your invitation to come and be with you on this special Missions Emphasis Day, and especially with your honoring Brother and Sister Harrison, and we appreciate that. And thank you for your support of them. I'm not sure how many years that you have, but we are grateful for that. Churches working together is what allows missionaries to be able to go. I don't know that there's any one church that could do that by themselves. So it requires that there is that mutual effort, and you have partnered with them, and we're grateful for that. and they're a blessing to us. And again, I want to thank you for allowing me and my wife to be here with you. And thank you for the accommodations you gave and the food. You know, it's rough preaching after you eat. Eat at 1 o'clock, 1:30, and then preach at 3. Do y'all allow burping and all of that? I don't know what might come out, but it sure was good, and we appreciate that. It's good to see Brother and Sister Thompson, and it's been a good while since we've seen them. And Brother Thompson and Sister Thompson, they're heroes in Virginia, and I'm sure a lot of other places as well. And the Lord has used them to be an encouragement to a great number of preachers and churches. And it's good to see them again. We appreciate that. Let's turn in our Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And there are just a few thoughts I want to give with you today, or leave with you. And trying to think about what I was going to say, what the Lord would have me to give you in the context of this day, honoring Larry and Cindy Harrison. And this passage would normally be what you would hear at an ordination service. Probably most ordination services, you'd hear somebody, if they didn't preach from 2 Timothy 4, they would at least refer to it during the course of that ordination. And this, of course, is not an ordination today, but just a day to recognize and commemorate and honor, as Brother Freeman said, faithfulness. And that's what Larry and Cindy have done. That's the example that they have set in what the Lord has called them to do. So I want us to think along those lines, and especially as we get down to one particular verse. But we'll start reading with verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we come in Jesus' name to you this evening, and we confess to you that we certainly do need you as we open your word. And as we handle the word of God today, we pray that you'd help us not to mishandle it, help us not to misunderstand it, misapply it. But I pray the Holy Spirit will guide us in everything that we say. And Lord, we thank you for the salvation that you've given us in Christ, and thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And I pray that we all would be challenged by the example, by the testimony of Brother and Sister Harrison. And Lord, we pray that we too might be found faithful and fulfilling what you have for us in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would use your word to do the work that you would be pleased to do in our hearts and lives today. So help us to honor and glorify Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You might have figured out that we're going to look at verse 7, and really in particular one part of verse 7, but there's several things involved in this. He says, I have fought a good fight. And of course, this is Paul's testimony. And I'm sure every Christian and every preacher would like to be able to say what Paul said when they come down to the end of their days. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And Paul, of course, was about to die, and he knew that. He alludes to that, mentions that directly in verse 6. He says, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And he wasn't talking about going from one town to the next, departing in that sense. He's talking about leaving this earthly life and entering into his heavenly life. Departing this physical life and entering to that eternal life in heaven. That's the departure that he's referring to there. And we're not looking at it in that context this morning. As far as I know, Brother and Sister Harrison are not not ready to die. At least I hope that's not true. They're ready in the sense that they're ready to meet the Lord, but we don't want them to go. And they'd like to hang around a little bit longer, I'm sure, as well. So we're not talking about them dying in that sense, but I do want us to think about Paul's testimony and make application of that when he says there in verse 7, I have finished my course. I want to be able to say that when I come to the end of my life, my ministry, whatever. I have finished my course. And in thinking about that, you can't finish something that you don't start. And in order to be able to say, I have finished my course, you first of all have to start. And I want us to think about the starting of it, and then the continuing of it, and then the finishing of it. Paul, I think, refers to his starting point back in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He says, And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord, which was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And of course, we all know the testimony of the Apostle Paul when he got saved on the Damascus Road. Now, when you look at it from God's perspective, that didn't take God by surprise. God, it wasn't news to God when Paul, Saul at that time, in Acts chapter 9, when he was saved. God knew all about that, but it was certainly new to Paul. And that was a beginning point for Paul and his life in Christ when he got saved on the Damascus Road. And all of us have to have that starting point. And we cannot finish the course in our Christian life until first of all we are established in saving faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Receive Him as our personal Savior. And so Paul had that starting point by faith in Christ. And then he's continuing. It didn't end with Paul when he got saved. That was simply the beginning, wasn't it? And we read much about the continuing aspect of the Apostle Paul. You could do a study on the life of the Apostle Paul, and much of that study would be focused upon this continuing segment of his life. How he served God, how he ministered, how he went from place to place and did the missionary work that we read about in the book of Acts. And so we must all continue. And we start and then we continue to make progress. And by God's grace, we keep on continuing. Now, I'm not talking about we keep on keeping ourselves saved. No, God does that, doesn't He? God gives us eternal life. And that's a gift, of course, through Him, through Christ. But we are to continue the life that we have in Christ here upon this earth, following the course that He sets before us until He calls us home. And we live in some strange days, don't we? I was talking, I think, with Brother Harrison earlier, and things are different today in our culture, in churches, in religious circles. Boy, we've seen a lot take place over the past few years. And if we're not careful, we'll be tempted to think that just because something is popular and something is, in the world's mind, successful, that, boy, that's the way we got to go. But if we continue on the course that God sets us on, that's going to be a constant course. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul gives us this: "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." I've often thought, with all that we see going on today, what are we supposed to do? You know, things changing all around us. And, you know, I'm sure Brother Freeman would agree, pastoring becomes more and more challenging seemingly by the day, because of all the different difficulties and challenges and problems that people face today. And sometimes you wonder, well, what in the world am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to deal with all of these things? And the Lord spoke to my heart one day from verse 14 when I was wondering that. What, you know, how do we minister? What do we do today? And the answer is, continue thou in the things which thou... See, if we've learned from the Bible, and we've been taught from the Bible, and we've been instructed and mentored from the Bible, that does not change, does it? The Word of God is constant. The Word of God is true. It stays the same. And so if the foundation of our lives has been established upon God's truth, then what we're supposed to do is just continue on in the things which we have learned. And so we have that starting point when we get saved, and then from that point we continue on in learning of Christ, learning His Word, knowing more of Him. And of course the result of all of that is to be a life that is lived to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sooner or later, if the Lord does not come, all of us are going to come to a finishing stage of our lives. And that's what Paul is referring to there in verse 7 when he says, "I have finished my course." And I want to be able to say that. And in the case of Larry and Cindy Harrison, I don't know. We were talking last night, I believe it was, at the meeting, and he said, "I'd love to go back to Mexico." And as Brother Freeman mentioned this morning, it's clear that's where his heart is, or Brother Thompson, I believe. Heart is in Mexico. He said God may allow them to go back to Mexico. Well, God can do that, can't He? We don't know whether the Lord will allow that or not. But in just thinking about the possibility that, you know, that work as they have known it in Mexico for the past 20 years, that they're not able to continue on in that aspect of the ministry, then we could look at that in the sense that they have finished that course. They have successfully and faithfully walked that path of service that God has set before them, and now they have come to the finish line of that particular aspect. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying God is through with them, that God is done with them, that they can't serve God anymore. That's not it at all. But perhaps, and again, God really is the only one that knows this, that aspect of it might be finished. And so let's think about that for just a few minutes, and I'll try not to be long. And I've told our folks like that before, and they've laughed and made a joke about it. But I'm serious. I'll try not to be long with that. Thinking back again about our starting point and the details and the circumstances of our starting will vary from one individual to another. And what I mean by that, you know, all of us that are saved, we were saved in different places, saved at different ages. Brother Caleb said saved at six years of age. I got saved when I was 18. Got saved from different backgrounds. Some were saved in vacation Bible school. Some would have been saved in a revival meeting. Some would have been saved at a regular church service. Some through a personal witness. Someone witnessed to you and shared the gospel with you. Maybe reading a gospel tract. And God dealt with your heart, and you got saved. And you could go on and on about the different circumstances. So those things would be different. They would vary. But we're all saved the same way. We all have that same starting point, and we get to that starting point with that life in Christ the same way. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Only in Christ can we have that eternal life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we're all saved by the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that would be the constant in that. We get started on this course of life as a Christian, many different backgrounds and ways, but the same gospel brings salvation to all. And then once we're saved, the course that God sets before us will vary from one Christian to another. Not all of us, God puts on the same course. Some will serve the Lord, and their course will be being a faithful worker in a factory, or maybe on a farm, or in an office. A worker in a store, in a garage, maybe in a hospital, maybe in the military. Many places outside of what we would normally refer to as full-time ministry. Not everybody is called to be a pastor or a preacher. Not everybody's called to be a missionary. But everybody is called and commanded by God to serve Him. And so this course that God sets us on when we get saved, it may vary from one person to the next. Not all of us are called to be preachers, as I said. Some will be called to devote themselves to full-time ministry. Maybe a pastor or on a church staff or something like that, a Christian school teacher or an evangelist, missionary. But not everybody. And the course of some will mean that they are to stay at home and serve Christ faithfully in their local church in comfortable and familiar surroundings. Others, that course may mean that they'll serve God in places where they're not familiar with the language. They'll have to learn a new language. They're not familiar with the culture. Everything about it will be strange. And they're going to have to learn all of those things again in unfamiliar settings. And what I'm trying to say is the course that God sets before us, it'll be different from one person to the next. For some people, preachers, missionaries, their course may result in their becoming well known among their peers, and they may be called of God to preach to great crowds and vast audiences and so forth. Others, it may mean that they labor in obscurity in some village in Mexico or New Guinea or somewhere where nobody outside their supporting churches and their family and so forth know them. Know what's happening and everything. They'll certainly never be invited to be the keynote speaker at any meeting anywhere. Does that mean that they're a failure in their course? Not by any means. God ordains that we follow the course of His choosing, and it is going to vary from person to person. And while there may be many variables in that course, there are also some constants. Doesn't make any difference whether we're serving God in Madison, Virginia, or Yorktown, Virginia, or Mexico, or New Guinea, or wherever. There are some things that are true about our following God's course, no matter where we are. One is this: everything that we do is to be done for God's glory. Everything. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I believe that that reminds us as well of the mindset and the attitude that we have to have in serving Him. And if we're going to fulfill and finish the course that God sets before us, we got to have the right attitude about ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, we read this: "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen." Now, that does not make sense, humanly speaking, does it? Just another example that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are so far above us. You know, man may look at somebody and say, there's absolutely no way they're ever going to amount to anything. I thought that about David Gates. When David was a kid, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for his chances. But he got saved and God changed his life, and now he's used of God. And God sees us for what He knows we can be. But wisely, He doesn't let us know all about that, because we'd have a tendency to get puffed up and think that we're something when we're nothing, and to think that it's because of us. If God does please to use us. So God chooses, God ordains these base things of the world, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And that is to be a constant attitude and mindset that we have as God's people, no matter where we're serving Him. It is to be for His glory. And it is all to be done according to His Word. And again, God's Word doesn't change, does it? It's still sufficient for what needs to be done in the world today. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That is God's Word. That is what God's Word will do for us. And He's given His Word for that work of the ministry. And as we follow Him in following the course that He sets for our lives, it will be the Word of God that keeps us on that course and guard us and protect us from the detours and the pitfalls and the traps that the devil will certainly set for us. So that's a constant thing. We all need the Word of God as we travel down that course. And then That course is ultimately to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the verses that God has used to help me particularly in the past few years, Philippians 1 and verse 20 and 21, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, we're concerned about living, aren't we? And we want to live. Sometimes you may hear the doctor say something to you that might bring the possibility of death into your thinking. And when that happens, you know, verses like that will be a great help to you. When you realize what he says there, Christ shall be magnified in my body. And we got it all fixed up in our minds that the best way for that to happen is for me to live. Not necessarily. Paul said, Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he's just expressing his desire there that whether he lives or whether he dies, his innermost desire is that Christ Jesus be magnified. And so, you know as well as I do, the course that God sets you on, it's going to have some bumpy places on it. It's going to have some rough places. Some trying places, difficult times. And through all of that, we should traverse that course in such a way that Christ is magnified in our lives. And all courses will ultimately lead us to the judgment seat of Christ. And that's a good thing to keep in mind, isn't it? One day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul refers to that right here in our passage in 2 Timothy 4. In verse 8 he says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And part of that judgment, of course, that's a judgment of our works. And part of that judgment is going to include, have I finished the course that God has set before me? It's not a matter of my choosing how I think I could best serve God. It's finding the course that God has for me and then setting out on that course and by His grace finishing that course. And that brings us to what Paul says there in verse 7, I have finished my course. That places Paul in good company, doesn't it? I say that because of John 4 and verse 34. Jesus said this, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." And of course we know He did that, didn't He? He finished what He came to do. And this was a high priority for the Apostle Paul, finishing his course. Back in Acts chapter 20 and verse 22, he says this, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Keep in mind, Paul's course included bonds, afflictions, trouble. You can read about it in his writings. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course," but he says this, "with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And so even though Paul knew that his course was going to include bonds and afflictions, he said, none of that moves me. Because my priority is to finish my course with joy. And it should be the priority of every Christian to finish their course. You can't finish somebody else's, can you? But you can finish yours. And we need to be able to finish that course with joy. And the course that God has had for Larry and Cindy Harrison took them to Mexico. And for the past 20 years, they've been faithfully serving Christ in Mexico. And there are three independent Baptist churches that exist as we sit here this afternoon. There are three Baptist churches in Mexico that are there because Larry and Cindy Harrison said, Lord, if this is what you would have us do, if this is your course for our lives, then we will go. I don't know whether he remembers it or not, but I remember the time Larry came by the house. We didn't live far from one another, just right around the corner, really in a little place called Pocosin. Larry called, wanted to know if he could come by. And he came by the house, and we sat in the same study where I was studying and preparing for the message this afternoon. I thought about this the other day. And he shared with me what he believed God was laying on his heart to go to Mexico. You remember that? And I didn't have any new revelation for him or anything like that. And it sounded to me like he was already convinced that's what God had for their lives. And they set out. They made that known to the church, made that a public commitment that God had done that, and they took that step of going on deputation by faith, and they raised their support, went to Mexico, and they've been there for all of those years. And now, and again, I want to emphasize, God certainly knows the end from the beginning. But if things continue the way they are with Brother Larry's health and so forth, then it could be that that part of their course that included Mexico, that part may be finished. What they've been working towards, working in, working with the Mexican people there for the past 20 years, that part appears to be finished. And I'm convinced that Larry and Cindy can say with the Apostle Paul, as he put it here in verse 7, I have finished my course. And that example should be, and I believe is, a challenge to the rest of us to fulfill our course. I thought of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And they have run that race with patience, endurance, with faithfulness, the race that the Lord, the course that the Lord set before them, they have run that course faithfully, and that part of it could be finished. Now, they have fulfilled. I read a verse a moment ago about where Paul said his desire was to fulfill the ministry that God had given him. And they have faithfully done that. And that brings me to this question that I want to close. If they don't go to Mexico, they're not able to go back to Mexico, Does that mean that the work of the gospel is finished in Mexico? No. Does that mean God no longer cares about Mexico? I asked Brother Larry if I could borrow his shoes. Did you wear these in Mexico? I didn't ask you that. What towns? Tabasco? Aguas? Aguas Calientes? Serving the Lord there. And there's nobody there now, at least where they were. Who will step up? And maybe God. Could there be someone here today, this afternoon? And you would say, Lord, I believe that's the course you'd have. I don't know. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I could not dictate that, would not attempt to dictate that to anybody. But the Holy Spirit doesn't need any help from me, does he? There may be somebody here. God may be stirring your heart just like he did theirs. And all you need to do is say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll go. That may be the course that God would have for you and your life. Would you make yourself available to fulfill and finish the course that God has set before you? Let's bow for prayer, please.